Shalom Kefel, things like that. Different types of cases where you're going to steal because you really want to give it back, and that's why you're doing it, a whole cheshbon. So on that Gemara, Ruchem Fishel Perlo comments in his Sefer on the Ripsadragon that the common element between all these Yisurim is that normally when you steal something, so you're really doing two things wrong to the person. You're hurting the person in two ways. One is you're taking away from his bank account. You're transferring things from his bank account to your bank account, shaloi kedin, and that's stam a problem. But in addition, so you cause him agmas nefesh. Right? When he reaches into his pocket and he sees his wallet isn't there, and he gets all upset, so that's also wrong. That's also a hezek. So these gemaras, Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo explains, are dealing with cases where only that one factor is there. In a chanami, the mumminess issue isn't really there because you're going to give it back in those cases. You stole as a practical joke, or you stole to, in order to be able to give him kefil, whatever it is, so you're going to give him back the money. So you may figure it's mutter because there's no issue of mumminess changing hands. So as Perlo explains, yes, that's true, but there's still the component of the agmas nefesh that's called by the caused by the gneva, and that's also prohibited.
So if you stole something that you didn't like, I'm asked to give back?
Interesting question. Pashtus, when a person gets robbed, it's annoying. That's a pretty big claddle, pretty big claddle across the world. For purposes of Nakimu Natira? Good question. We can get to that topic in this week's parasha, except that I think that we did speak about already. So, again, we won't focus on it now. But what I do want to segue from this topic. Also, we've spoken about it in the past. I guaranteed no rerun tonight, so I can't go into any of these topics. But they're all relevant to the parasha. But this idea of gneva without a monetary loss does bring to mind another topic which I've always been curious about, so I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about tonight. It's already late, but it's not that long of a topic. And that is the Indian the Gemara has, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And it appears a couple of places in Shas as well. And that is the Indian of Kala Omer Davar B'Shem Omro. The kapeda that we have, that you should say something in somebody's name, and whether or not that's relevant to an issur gzeila or not. So I'd like to briefly talk about that. Okay, so again, so the Gemara does have a principle which first appears in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and appears in the Gemara in Megillah, especially because it's connected with Esther and Mordechai, and appears as well in the Gemara in Maseches Chulin, and Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara has this idea that Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro Mevi Geulah L'Olam. That there's an inyan to Davka quote something in somebody's name. So it's worth trying to figure out a little bit what exactly is the nature of this idea. This Kpeda that we have that you should quote something with somebody's name. So there are at least two identifiable elements to not doing that. Let's look at the negative. If one doesn't do this, so you could identify two separate areas in which he may be doing something wrong. On the one hand, there appears to be some aspect of Geneva, that this is his vart, and you're appropriating it without proper reference, so that seems to be some type of theft. On the other hand, there's also an inyan of Geneva's das, that if I take somebody else's idea and I present it as my own, so I'm committing a geneva not only against the Bala Maimer, but against you, because you're going to be impressed with me that it's my idea, but really it's not my idea, I really got it from somebody else, so therefore I am stealing your good impression of me. That's what we call geneva das. So it could be that that's the focus, that our focus is not so much on the fact that I'm stealing from him, but that I'm committing an act of geneva das. So it's worth being chaker a little bit, what exactly is the focus when we talk about this idea. So the inyan of gezeila and geneva, whichever term is more appropriate, in this context is one you do find in sources, but it's interesting, this topic mamash has no mazel. You see this topic which motivates us to try to be makbid about quoting things from the right source, you'll find as we go into the discussion that it happens to have no mazel itself. The Maggid of Ram and Simon Kufnu involved, Hilchos Maso Matan and Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, has a number of these types of ideas recorded in one place, a long Maggid of Ram. So he talks there about Kolo maybe Davar B'Shem Omro, and he says if you don't do this, and we're focusing on the negative, if you fail to do this, so you violate a law. and he makes reference to the Gemara Nedarim. Which Gemara Nedarim? It's a good question. The Rebbe Yehuda has a tshuva about this. This is in Tinyan and Arachayim Semenchaf, a response to Reb Shaya Berlin. And he says that this is a mistake. It's not in the Nedarim. If you look up and down, it's not in the Bavli, it's not in the Yerushalmi, it's not anywhere there. But rather, it's a Tanchuma in Bamidbar. And it's not the Mugen of Ram's mistake. It's in earlier sources that way. But it's not there. So again, you see this topic happens to have no mazel. But so that just to begin with, so it does exist in Chazal, but not in the Gemara Nedarim, but in this Medrash Tanchuma. But there, the Gemara does say that there's a lav, and it makes a reference to the idea of al tigzal dal, that you shouldn't steal a poor person. And a poor person doesn't have any money, but he may have a good vart. So if you're going to rob a poor person, what are you going to steal? You're going to steal his vart, and that's an offense. So this idea that failing to be Mevid Dover B'Shem Omro may shmek of Gneva or Gzela on some level, so that is rooted in some sources. And there is a discussion about this, a lengthy discussion, very detailed discussion, in the Shalos and Tshuvas Chemdas Tzvi, in Chelek Gimel and Simen Lamed Hei. And he points out that you see two things from this Tanchuma. One, that there is a concept of Gzela when it comes to Divrei Torah, and that it applies even after the person is no longer alive, because the Medrash goes on to talk about further generations. And it's not like a physical object, which is Birusha, right? We know Torah is not Birusha. So a physical object remains within the person's family even after he dies. But here, after the person dies, so you think he has no bilus on anything. Nonetheless, we see the Yisr still seems to apply. That's an extra detail, but as you see from here, that there is an inyan of Gzela when it comes to Divrei Torah. Now, Pashtus, it could be extended to other intellectual property also. The interesting thing is the Rai, we'll discuss a little bit later, but the Rai from the Gemara Megillah is not really talking about Divrei Torah at all. So that in itself, another source, the Gemara tells us that Mordechai told Esther to tell the king there was a plot against him, and she was makbid to say it b'shem Mordechai. And that's really our marker, as we'll expand on a little bit more later. So that's not really a Divrei Torah context at all. So Pashtus applies to any word, but the idea that somebody can steal your words, and specifically in the context of Torah, so the Chemdas Tzvi has, his whole tshuva is about that type of thing, about stealing Divrei Torah. So this Mevid Dover B'Shem Omro is only one detail of his discussion, but he goes through this idea of bringing different rayas, that there is a concept of Gneva when it comes to Divrei Torah. He goes through that at length. Now again, no mazel, so there's many references in Sfarim to a tshuva of the Machane Chaim in Chelek Beis and Simen Mem Tes. I cannot find it there. I cannot find it anywhere in Chelek Beis. I don't know where it is. Again, there is something about this topic in citations that is some kind of an issue, but many Sfarim do quote this, where he's also talking about somebody who was a sofer who stole other people's Chidushei Torah and wrote them under his name. So how does that impact on his ability to write Sefer Torah? Is he kosher for Stam? So is a tshuva also on the Maram Shik that later Sfarim make reference to, Yeridei in Simen Kufnun Vav, where he understands this whole Isser is really an aspect of Gnevas Das. It's not really that he stole anything, but just that he's showing off in ways that he doesn't really deserve to be showing off in. So that's really an issue of Gnevas Das. But many later Sfarim are very surprised at the Maram Shik, and they point out that no, there are these sources that indicate that there's a real Gzela to the victim.
Just Gnevas Das,
could be. Yeah, it could be. He says there's no cheft of gzela. Maram Shik compares it to shofar. We know that the Rambam says that mitzvah babi aveira is not shayach to shofar because the mitzvah is the sound, and you can't steal sound, ain't bekold in gezla. So Maram Shik applies the same idea to gzela. But later Svarim are very troubled by this because there are sources that seem to explicitly say that there is a concept of gzela. There's also references to hasagas gvul. Right? This you also find in Midrashim, that somebody who, even if you don't do it with their own name, but you say, the Medrash says, you machlif for Belazar with Rabbi Yeshua, if you take the wrong name, so that's a problem of moving around borders. This is his Tchum and Torah, and you're moving around the border, that's Hasagas Gavul. So, you're better off not misappropriating it. That seems to be a concern. So, this idea, so you see these two stardom here. On the one hand, the Maram Shik is expressing this other side that it's more of a Gnevas Das idea. But it does seem to be, as other sources point out, that it is pretty explicit in Chazal that there is, you have to look for it, you have to know where to look, you have to ask to go to Behuda, and you have to know where to find it, but that there is an inyan of Gzela that seems to be identified. Right?
Assuming that a sofer has to have a certain level of piety and so forth, but how would, if this guy happens to steal other people's Chidushei Torah, how would that necessarily affect his Nemanos Legabe writing other things, like the Torah, which is Shiva Sam, and not necessarily other things that he heard Shabbat Pan and saying that over?
I think it's in general about his general status as a kosher. I wish if I could look up the Machna Chaim, I could tell you more specifically what he says, but again, I can't find it exactly where it's identified as being. Eventually, hopefully, I hope to see it inside and I can tell you. This has to exist because it's quoted in too many different places, but I just haven't found it where it's identified as being. Eventually, we'll find it and we'll know exactly how he explains it. Hi?
When you talk about this zero, is there like a zero
It's a good question. That's not spelled out in Svarim. Svarim just bring many different indications that we see references in Chazal. How exactly does it affect your status? Does it make you possible Eidus? It's a good question. It's a good question. So, but this question of whether the focus is stealing from the guy or whether the focus is some type of Gnevas Das, so that should affect a couple of other issues. For example, what about Mechila? Let's say the Baal HaMaimer says that he doesn't care. I don't know where to find this, but I think I remember hearing once the stipler said that. The stipler said that anybody who wants to take his chidushim and appropriate them for themselves and write them under his name, their own name, he doesn't care, he's meichel. But one could raise the question, so does it really help to be meichel? If we're talking about gneva from the Baal HaMaimer, so then, okay, there's a concept of mechila. But if it's an issue of gneva's das, so then mechila doesn't really help. And this apparently is a suffix the Satmar Rav had.
I mean, if it's this portion of Torah, how can you be
more Torah? I mean, it depends how far you want to go in comparing it to an object. In theory, it could be possible. But Asab Merav has this suffix, it's called in the Sefer Chaste Avos. And he wonders about this question, that if the person is Mochel, does it help? He has two couple of fakes there. He's also wondering if you come up with the same idea as somebody else, but Lav Mitameh, you come up with it on your own. So is that... Is that an issue? So as far as Gnevas Das, you could say that certainly isn't Gnevas Das if you would have the same idea on your own. The only possible concern might be maybe he has some type of claim to it first, that he came to the same conclusion before you. So maybe there's some inyan of Gneva. That's a question. As I'm saying this, I'm remembering that if you look in the Hakdama to the Evan HaEzel, so he mentions that before he went to print, so he noticed that the thinking they say from Merkevas HaMishnah, a lot of the things that he was going to say are there as well. And I think maybe he said in the Or Sameach. Also, he knows in some Svarim, right before he went to print, that a lot of the Chidushim he was going to print, he saw in other Svarim. I think he mentions the Or Sameach and Merkavas HaMishnah. So he was mesupik whether or not he should include these ideas. And then he decided he was going to include them. Because, first of all, he said not everybody has those Svarim, so to leave them out just because they're another Svarim, he thinks is not a great idea. And also, he says he got them on his own. He worked hard to come up with his Chidushim, and the fact that they're also another Svarim, he doesn't see any reason to leave them out. Okay, but in any case, that's one of the Sveikas Sabah Rav has. The other Sveik he has is, let's say the Baal HaMaimer is Moichel. If the guy says, I don't care, you can do what you want, so does that change the Yisr or not? And there is a Tshuva Batis in the Shalos and Tshuva Safar Kasta Da'anya in Chelek Dalid, in Simin Shin Ayin Aleph, and there he writes he doesn't think Mechila works because there's a problem of Gnevas Das, which doesn't mean that he dismisses the Gneva idea, but he says there is a problem of Gnevas Das, that basically you're going to be glorified in something that's not really yours, and that's not right. And also, you know, we want to bring the Gula, so you're holding back the Gula by failing to be Mekayim Tavar B'Shem Omru. So also no, not at all. I understand that he could very easily be assuming that they're both there, but since the Gnevas Das problem is present, so therefore the person being mochel doesn't really help. Another issue as far as I'm talking about is what about if you're going through a third person? If somebody quoted something to you from an earlier source, so is there a need to quote from the middleman, or can you skip the middleman and go back to the original source? So that's a something that Shuvah Minchas David quotes in the Chivas Bear Moshe discussion about this, the Nechas David, this is in Chelik Beis, in Simen Kav Chav Tas, so he has a little bit of discussion back and forth. And
Gemara, you have like 3 lines in it.
Right, so that's one idea, the fact that the Gemara seems to have a Kepeda to really try to trace everything backwards. This may also somehow relate to the question that if we're talking about Gneva, Pashas, it's a property of the person who was originally Mechadish it. If it's Gneva's Das, it's a question maybe how impressive does it look if you cut out the middleman? Are you creating a greater sense of impressiveness than you deserve? So Pashas, that's something that varies on the circumstance because it's a certain point where there's got to be a Gvul because every detail that you know, you heard somewhere, you got through some Emtsoi, so it's there's going to be a point where it's going to get ridiculous. So Pashas, there's a judgment there. At what point are you presenting things in a way that look more impressive than they really are? And Pashas, one would assume there's probably some subjectivity to this. So one second, he also points out in the Menchas David that in the Shulchan Aruch is always quoting earlier sources. But when other Sfarim quote from the Shulchan Aruch, so you never see a Kepeid in any of the later Sfarim to emphasize that the Shulchan Aruch then is a Maram Rutenberg, or is a Trumas Hadashim. You never find a Kepeid on that. And what does that indicate? He's not really sure. I'm not so sure how much the Indian is really the same, because in the Shulchan, when you quote the Shulchan Aruch, the point is not so much you want to say a Gevaltik Echidish from the Shulchan Aruch, I heard a great Teretz from the Ramah. You know, the point is the authority of the Shulchan Aruch that's being thrown behind this Trumas Hadashim, behind this Maram Rutenberg or whatever it is, that's really the emphasis. And I think it's that reason why you don't find the Kepeda in the Sfarim to look and say who the Shulchan Aruch is quoting. Pashas, it wouldn't really make a difference. It helps just for your own sense of accuracy. But if somebody else put you there, I think Alpi Svar, I don't know if this is true, I think Alpi Svar, there's a din of inevitability. If it's something that you would have gotten to on your own, just if you put more time into it, and maybe eventually you would have put more time into it, then that's not really, you're not really getting anything from the middleman except for him saving you a few minutes or maybe a few hours. But if it's something that you would only have gotten to through that person, maybe there's more room to say that it's worth being mapping on. Sorry? Whatever it's worth. Hi.
Does Shulchan Aruch fall into that category? That's something we can never really get to if we actually...
The Shulchan Aruch itself?
Yeah. Is he just quotes a Rishon?
You think the things the Shulchan Aruch quotes or the quoting the Shulchan Aruch?
Things that the Shulchan Aruch quotes.
No, but I'm saying that comes from a different reason. The fact that when one quotes the Shulchan Aruch, the point is not because they want to credit the Chiddush to the Shulchan Aruch, they want to credit the idea. Everyone knows that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, by definition, aren't making up their own dinim. The point is that they give them authority by putting them in quotes.
Himself, when he wrote it, he doesn't have the B'shem on it. He just says,
but in our Shulchan Aruch, we usually have them. They do quote. Right, so how? Who?
So that wasn't there.
You're saying that he himself didn't have the capacity to do it. So that represents something.
It could be that just because, the second reason is because it's Pesach, so it's not really for a Chiddush, it's just,
it was Pesach. Could be. There's also a discussion, both of them in Chesdav and Anya, Farkasta Danya. What if somebody is a kind of Peshvach Kli, so to speak? Let's say somebody adds a little bit. So he touches it up. So does that at some point remove his need to attribute it to Shem Omro? And Farkasta De'Anya thinks that this is not going to help at all, but he comes to it from kind of Alpi Derech HaDrush type of attitude. He says, because first of all, so you're building your idea on this previous idea, so it's a Dovra Maimid. And Dovra Maimid, so you can't be Mevatel no matter how much you add. You know, again, that's more of a kind of drushy approach. And it says also, Divrei Torah, Divrei Chashuv, so you can never be Mevatalim. So no matter how much you're going to add, so you're not going to ever be able to be Mevatal, that original kernel that came from somebody else, that still requires you to be Ma'azgar Shem Omro. Another nafkamin of what your focus would be is, let's say, if I quote something in the name of somebody anonymously. I say, this isn't my idea, it's somebody else's idea, but I don't say who it is. So then Al Pisvar, that would also probably depend on what our focus is, that as far as the Gnevis Das, there's no Gnevis Das because you're admitting that it's not yours, but as far as it being Zela from somebody else, so if you're leaving out who the Baal Maimer is, so on a certain level you are taking away his Chus. So Rabbi Simon mentioned to me that Rav Bengis is quoted as saying that Pashas, if you mention that somebody else's idea, but you don't say who, so the Isser you don't have, but opportunity to bring Geula you also don't have. Which, again, I think Al Pisvar seems to be the way to go, but be makbid to say everybody who said this idea. Just to talk a little bit Al Piderach HaDrush, but also just where this idea of Geula comes from, there are some interesting suggestions. Just first of all, before we get to that point, so there is the point to mention that the source of Esther and Mordechai is a little unusual because it is kind of an isolated kind of case and doesn't really have anything to do with Talmud Torah. So the Torah Tumima, the Rif, apparently is quoted as asking this question. And the Torah Tumima there writes, Torah Tumima and Esther writes that it just means that we see from the whole story of Esther that who knows what kind of zchuyas come out of distributing things to people who say things, and therefore we see that big things happen when you're careful about this, and therefore it probably applies in every realm of life, and it's not always Geula, which mentioned Geula because of the context of Mordechai and Esther. So it's interesting, so my grandfather wrote a sefer on the Torah Tumimah, Mishimus Nefesh, so he points out there also that when the Torah Tumimah says it's a riff, it's not the riff that we're familiar with, it's a riff on the Ein Yaakov or Bishaya Pinto. So again, this topic has no mazel. Again, this riff, try to be mocked with the quote in the riff, it's a different riff. In the Chandas Tzvi, he also talks about this riff in the Torah Tamimu. And he also says a similar idea, but he points out that Mordechai Davka wanted Esther to say it in her name. He thought this would help her to get more clout with the king, and that was the whole point. But she felt that, no, this is a big idiot that maybe she shouldn't be mochel on, because we see that it's so important to Davka do things b'shem Omro, and then we see how things work out when you do that. So the fact that Esther Davka defied the whole goal in order to bring about Geula, so that's indicative of the role this has in everything, which may also be somewhat of a raya for the whole Mechila question. Yeah?
For the Shir, you say, I'm going to say Chadushim from these five people, and you say the Shir, what's that?
So I say there might be another Nafkin Mina. You're saying that if you don't actually say which ones are which, so on the one hand you're not really attributing the right chelik to the right person, but you're saying it's not Kenevis Das because you set out that it comes out from other people.
I know Rosh Hashanah quotes a few times in Shira that the Rambam Nachtama, he goes down, he goes down to Sora back and forth, and he says now Mekayim Dabar B'Shem, right, saying the name B'Shem Amram, which is weird.
Okay. So just to mention, three approaches, a little bit al-Piderach HaDrush, that exist in the Sfarim to explain the idea of Geula and maybe Davar B'Shem Amro, and then we'll close. So one, Rav Hutner in the Pachad Yitzchak on Purim, quotes a belief from a Maharal, a nice idea to explain the connection between Purim and maybe Davar B'Shem Omro and Geula. What do all three of those things have together? What is the common element? So he explains there that really they all share a common theme. That what does Geula mean? So Geula means to be returned to your source. Geulus means to be exiled, cut off from your source. And Geula means to be returned to your source. So Jews, Chiyas comes from Eretz Yisrael. So to be returned to Eretz Yisrael, is Geula means to be returned to your source of life. So that's the Indian of Geula. And that's also the Indian of Mevi Davar B'Shem Omro. Because when you have a statement that's cut away from who said it, so it's also removed from its source of Chiyas. And when you restore the mimer to its source of Chiyas, you reconnect the person with who said it. So that also is a type of Geula, and therefore it's appropriate that this should bring about Geula Olam. And what does that have to do with Purim? Because Purim is the flip side of this. Because the same way you have a source without a person, so an idea without a person, so that idea is cut off from its source and has to be restored. So too, if somebody says something, but they don't really mean it, and then they come to mean it, so that's also a reconnection. So we know that Masorah has it, that when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah the first time, so they didn't really mean it. They said Nasa V'Nishma, but it was really kind of disconnected, because they didn't really mean it. But then came Purim, Kimu V'Kibbalu, so then they actually did mean it, so that's a reverse type of reconnecting with the source, not taking a statement and giving it back to who said it, but a statement that we had in somebody's name, but it wasn't really appropriately there because they didn't really mean it. Now then they came to mean it, so that's also a type of returning it to a source. So that's how the Maharal has them put in their quotes. That's one spin on this whole idea. In the Afarkasta Danya that we mentioned before, so he has a different spin on it. And he says that we have a minig that when somebody darshins, so when he finishes, he says, "Avol tzion goel." He says, "What's that about?" He says, "The Arizal explains that when at the time of Matan Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave out to the world a certain number of Chidushei Torah for the world. And he knows how many there are. We know that the Gemara Menachos makes reference to Kol Maaseh Talmud Vasek Asa L'Chadish. There's a certain number of Chidushei Torah that are out in the world. And then once they get all used up, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to start telling us more Chidushim. That's Geula. Then that's when it's going to happen. So we say, Yuval Yisyon Goel, we hope that by adding another Chidush Torah in the world, we're bringing this closer. And that's going to bring about the Geula. So he says, however, if you're going to be satisfied stealing other people's vorts, so you're never going to have any motivation to make up your own ideas because you're getting enough covet through everyone else's divrei Torah. So that's going to keep things waiting longer. You're going to never come to your own chelik in learning because you're going to rely on everyone else's. So we want the Yishuv Makbid to give the right source for who said it, so you'll have to come up with your own chidushim. And once you come up with your own chidushim, that will further bring the geula a little bit faster. And then he adds on, especially since the Mishnah says in Ovis, that's one of the kinyanim of Torah, that Hamevi Dover B'Shem Marmaru is one of the ways that you come to be Kona Torah. So if you are melumed in this, so then you will become more adept at getting your own chelik in Torah, and once you have your own chelik in Torah, so that will bring about the geula. And one final thought in the Sefer Shari Shamayim, in Simon Chof Aleph, so he has this discussion also, and he wants to know what's exactly going on with this geula, and he makes reference to an idea the Gemara has in Ksubis, that when you have a Tzorber Midrabanan who doesn't give people Musar, so people like him. And in general, this is a problem, that we want that the Rabbanim should give Musar to their Kehilas, but then people are going to hate them, and then Gemara says that if people don't like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so into you either, so then the whole world's going to fall apart. So how exactly is it supposed to work? How exactly are things supposed to operate? So really, if the Rav, when he's giving Musar to the Kehila, he makes it sound like it's all his own idea, all these ideas of Torah and Chazal that he's trying to push, so then they're going to get turned off. They're going to think he thinks he's great, and he's got everything, and they're nothing, and they're not going to be interested in him, and they're going to hate him. But if he sets himself aside from the Vort, he says the Vort's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, he says, maybe Davar B'Shem Omro, it's really, and he's just expressing it, and he's really also needs to get the Musar. He's not part of the people giving the Musar. He's also part of the crowd. So then it's going to work, and then Geula will come to the world. You'll be able to set things straight because that'll be effective in getting people to move on the right course. And that's the intent of the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. Nocheach tocheach esa misecha. So there is a chiyuv in the Torah to set people on the right path. But the Davka usage of the word amisachas explains that's the same idea, that when you include yourself in the same group, you say, we're all friends and we all have this problem, so then it's going to work. But if you set yourself aside and you say that, no, you're great and everyone else has got the problems, so then it's not going to work, and then we're going to have all kinds of issues. So if you say, maybe Dov B'Shem Omer, say, it's not your idea, it's the Torah's idea, and I'm also one of the people who needs to hear it, so then it should work, and then, again, we have this idea that Dov B'Shem Omer, maybe Geula Li'olam.